Listen closely. What you are about to hear is the sound of a mountain yellow-legged frog. Hear it? Oh, I forgot. They only vocalize underwater. All right, imagine for a second you just dunked your head in a snowmelt lake high in the Sierra Mountains. Now do you hear it? Consider yourself lucky. Not many people these days hear or even see this frog that was once the single most plentiful vertebrate in the mountains of California. Along with the red-legged frog, the Yosemite toad, probably the Pacific tree frog, and, well, a whole lot of others. These frogs are rapidly disappearing from our planet. Worldwide, 30% of amphibians are crashing. The yellow-legged frog is about 6% of what it once was.
We've been finding piles of dead frogs, dozens, sometimes hundreds of dead frogs on the shorelines of these lakes. And that is not something that you see often in nature. We're talking about a massive disappearance of these frogs. They used to be the most common vertebrate, and now, if you go to the High Sierras, it's really, really rare to find these frogs.
That was former Berkeley researcher Vance Riedenberg. What bothers him is not just the dead frogs, but also where he's finding them.
Many people have asked me, why should we care if frogs are disappearing? Well, for one, they're not just disappearing in places where we're cutting down the rainforest and filling in the bogs and that sort of thing. They're disappearing in some of our most protected habitats on this planet. In huge national parks like Yosemite National Park or Sequoia Kings Canyon National Parks, we have populations that, for all conceivable purposes, should be safe.
Riedenberg has spent 11 years in the Sierras studying frogs and is co-author on a recent paper that details a fungus running rampant in California and all over the world. Funguses may be one of the most mysterious groups of creatures. With this fungus, scientists can't even tell male from female, or for that matter, if there even are sexes. Lead author on the paper was Berkeley plant and microbial biology professor John Taylor.
Perhaps the most important things are, one, humans can move it. We have good evidence of that. And secondly, that there can be populations of this fungus in a single lake consistent with sexual reproduction. And that will really change both models of how the disease spreads and attempts to repopulate lakes with native species.
So the big question is, does the fungus have sex? Here's how it works. The fungus in question is from an ancient family called chytrids and looks more like a microscopic animal than a mushroom. Most of the time, it just reproduces by splitting in half. But it needs to be in the water or on the frog or it soon dies. But here's the catch. If it's breeding, it could have a seed phase where it could be transferred to other lakes. This opens up a possibility that no one wants to admit.
One of the worries early on in the amphibian decline was that herpetologists, scientists that study amphibians, were carrying the fungus around the world as they did their work. And the so-called muddy boots hypothesis, that when they went from an infected body of water to a pristine body of water, they took the fungus with them.
So, Riedenberg and Taylor had a nearby lab map the fungus genome. Then they compared different genetic populations in different lakes. They figured out that the fungus comes in all at once to a lake, changes a little, and then moves on, and sometimes comes back. The pattern indicates that someone is carrying it, and that, yes, the little guys might be having sex. And just like with fungal plant diseases, that's bad news. Think sudden oak death or the chestnut blight that wiped out 4 billion trees. But almost as interesting as the paper is who was involved in it. Because questions about the frog die-off touch on so many aspects of science, researchers literally from all parts of campus are looking at it.
You know, we had John Taylor from Genetics and Plant Biology. We had Craig Moritz from the Museum of Vertebrate Zoology. We had Sherry Briggs from Integrated Biology. I was from Integrated Biology. I was her postdoc. We had Roland Knapp, who's at another campus, UC Santa Barbara. So, you know, we had these people with different skills all coming together trying to address the same problem.
It's a loosely affiliated cooperation where every lab does their own work but coordinates with each other. Many say it's the future of science. And with the frog die-off, of course, it helps that most of the researchers are on the same very large campus. In the end, though, Riedenberg and Taylor say realistically there may not be much the work can do for the frogs. The fungus moves too fast and in concert with too many other factors like global warming. But it does teach them about the nature of disease and may inform scientists about human fungal outbreaks or alert us to potential environmental dangers.
30% of amphibian species are in decline. They are the canary in the coal mine because they absorb water through their skin, they breathe through their skin. They're more in touch with the environment than we are. 30% of them are going down. Then what's next for us? I mean, that's why everybody should be worried about it.
With the California Magazine, I'm Eric Vance.